Hello, everyone. Welcome. It's time again for Heart to Heart. It's always a blessing to speak from the heart. God loves us. And when he speaks to us, he's speaking from the heart. His word is from the heart. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And there's life in those words. And those life gives us knowledge of the truth. And then we have faith. See, we have when the Lord gives us knowledge of the truth, from there we have faith. If we receive it in our hearts, it develops and becomes faith. And that's what we base our decisions on. That's what we take God, we enter covenant by faith. We receive our promises by our faith. We're justified by our faith. We receive the blessings of God by faith. Everything and all things come to us by faith. We advance by faith. We take what's ours by faith. The kingdom is given to us and we receive it by our faith. The blood of Jesus washed away our sins and it's applied to us by our faith. Now, when the Jewish people were still in Egypt, at the Exodus, on the Passover, their side of the covenant was to put the lamb's blood on the lintels, which is the top of the door entrance, and on the doorpost that's on the side of the door. And then the death angel would bypass them. And anybody that didn't do it, any person living in Egypt that didn't put the blood on the doorpost, their firstborn child died. And the first, if they had any animals, the firstborn animal died. So everybody was highly motivated to put blood on the lintels and doorposts of their homes so that their firstborn child would not die. And so we have the same We have the same commandment. We have to believe on Jesus' blood. We have to believe on Jesus Christ, that he died for us, his blood washed away our sins. And then we receive salvation by faith. And when we receive salvation by faith, then we enter in covenant with God. We belong to God now. We're not of the world anymore. We are of God. And we operate like him. And we do what he does. We speak his word. All of this is important because the just shall live by his faith. All the wonderful blessings of God, they're accessed by our faith. And that's something we have in common with all men. And the good thing is, the Lord is, he's got things together. All of his word works to help us go forward in this life. And all of his word is true. We can bank on it. Now, in ministry, sometimes people, we have to learn what's ours in the Lord. And just like all things, we come to the Lord like we are, as we are. We repent. We believe on Jesus Christ, and we want our life to be his life. We want to be right with the Lord. We turn from our wicked sins. All sins we just turn from. And the Lord makes us brand new. Now, where I'm going with this is, our ministry of reconciliation starts from where we are when we get saved. Whatever stage of life we're at, even the geographical location we're at, that's where our ministry starts, from the moment we first believe. We represent God as much as we can out to salvation. His handiwork is seen in our life. It's notable. When people see that you're trying to do right and you're seeking the Lord's way, you start representing the Lord from the moment you first believe. When you believe on Jesus by your faith, and you say with your mouth, I believe on Jesus Christ, that his blood washed my sins away, that he arose to justify my life. And my heart is made brand new. When you say that you believe on Jesus from your mouth, from your heart. Now, I'm not talking about just reciting some magic words. I'm saying from the heart. You know, God deals, he speaks to us from the heart. And true faith is of the heart. We believe from the heart. That's when that's when salvation counts. Now, if you said some words and you didn't really believe it in your heart, it didn't work. It's got to be from the heart. From the heart, man believes unto salvation. With confession, the mouth speaks. And from the heart, man believes unto salvation. It's got to be from the heart. It's got to be from the very core of you. And when you enter the light, you turn your back on darkness. If you still love darkness, you need to get in the light. But those who truly believe from the heart, they became ambassadors of heaven, even though they never been there physically. But they are there spiritually, because now they're in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is everywhere, wherever his people are. Yeah, salvation, the work of God, the change in our lives, from that moment, we become ambassadors of the Lord, and we start to represent him, because we're born again. We're in a new kingdom, and as we develop from that point, we operate and we grow and we do better and better and better. Remember, salvation came to us in seed form, and from the moment we first believe, our spirit man is transformed into a new man, a new creature. Our spirit is brand new, and our mind and our bodies we can renew our mind, and we can bridle our body, just like a man who rides a horse. He tames the horse and he bridles it, and the horse will do what the rider wants him to do. And the rider is like our spirit man, and we develop from where we are, and we grow, and we become mighty in the Lord. And if we continue, we become established. When we do all the things the Holy Spirit's been talking about, such as hearing the word, receive the word, speaking the word of God, and following with our faith, being mighty, we follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Then he'll tell us where to go, we go. He'll anoint us to do things, and we'll use that anointing, and we'll do it. We'll follow the order of God. We'll follow the however he gives us to operate in ministry, that's how we do it. All right. From there, if we continue, we become established. Now, Saul never became established like David did. David continued. When you become established, you get to a point where you're not going to fall. Everything's like it should be. All the weaknesses have been healed. The goal of the church is in Ephesians chapter 4, and the Lord gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to bring the body up to help establish the body of Christ. Now, I want to look at some verses in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, and with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And this has become our heritage. Verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now watch this. And this is the purpose of your calling: for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So verse 14 lets you know that humans, that people can be an enemy to what you're doing. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom is the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. See, what you bring to the table is going to increase the whole body. All of your progress increases the whole body. That's how it works. You begin a healing process from wherever you are, whatever stage of life you are, whether you're a truck driver, whether you're a garbage man who pick up the trash, whether you're an executive in a company, whatever stage you are, a healing process is happening in the audience of those around you, because they witness a change in you. They witness the character of God developing in you. They see a healing process, especially when you receive the word of God and you solve your problems with it. See, that people are looking at what's going on the outside. But what's on the outside is a reflection of the holy work that's done on the inside. So where I'm going with this is your ministry and whatever God gives you to do, because that's what people focus on, it's a reflection of what's going on inside of you. So the first war we win, if we can win the first war, which is within our own body, our own being, we get our body bridled, we get our mind renewed in the Word of God, and it's got to be by your will. It's not, see, the Word of God won't brainwash you. It'll give you facts that's true, and if you receive it, it will develop it. It'll develop productively in your life by your faith. You have to receive it. When people are brainwashed, they use fear tactics, they make people feel like they're worthless, and they're only somebody as they follow these particular rules. That's a brainwashing. That's cult activity. There is no cult activity. We show people the truth. We live the truth of God, and they follow if that's what they want. And when the lights are on, people can see and judge what's right from what's wrong, and they can go forward. Just like when the Lord chose the light and rejected the darkness when he first said, "Let there be light," when he was restoring the earth in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Now, when you believe on Jesus, the lights just came on where you are. Even if people don't acknowledge it, it happened. And when you live the standards of God's word and they increase in you and you mature, you can actually become established. And whatever you do will be a reflection of what's in your heart. So as your heart grows stronger, you do too. As your heart grows stronger in the Lord, so does your ministry. And as your heart grows weaker in the Lord, so does your ministry. So instead of focusing on the ministry, focus on the things of the heart and just be obedient to the Lord, and the ministry will be taken care of. When you have an anointing to do the ministry, that part, that's an easy load to you. That's like pulling a wagon with one pillow in it, a bag of feathers. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." You won't even know it's there. It's so light. You won't even realize that you're carrying a burden. And so much joy in it, you don't recognize the fact that you're pulling a load. You're living a life for people. And the warfare, you know, people get weary if they don't fight. And sometimes it takes effort to learn to fight and resist because you're resisting hell. The actual holy work of God, there's no, it's so light you won't realize you're pulling the load. But what you feel, the heaviness of ministry that you feel, that's the warfare. That's the rejection by men. And you and the Lord will teach you that you don't have to count on man's approval. So that's one weight off your shoulders. Then the satanic oppression. You have authority over Satan. So when Satan aggravates you because of your ministry, you can do just like Paul did and get rid of your thorn in the flesh, which was just like that damsel going around mocking them everywhere they go. These are the men of God. They come to show us the way of salvation. Just aggravating Paul and the apostles. And Paul rebuked that spirit and she couldn't do it anymore. And it stopped happening. They put him in jail and a revival broke out. They put him in jail illegally and he got out. So when you, now opposition will come, but that's not your burden. That's just your fight. And Jesus already won the victory for you. All you have to do is speak his word in faith and watch Satan run off with his tail between his legs. Now back to Satan. There's something I want to expose. See, God wants us to be established. He gave us five types of ministers to help us do it. And over time, we'll go back and examine the offices of each one. But what God get, what I said in the last broadcast and the previous before that, your ministry never has to be traditionalized. Focus on the actual work. Just because God called you to the ministry, you don't need it to be formal to operate. This broadcast we're talking about now, a healing process begins the moment you believe and you change everything. You're an example of Jesus Christ. You're an example of God. You're an example of the guidance of the Holy Spirit that you follow. And see, as you go forward, God needs ministers everywhere. And he doesn't need buildings everywhere. He needs people obeying him. Actually, when God's people go inside and they learn in a building, all people can see from the outside is people going into a structure. They may hear the praise and worship it, but the walls actually keep all that concealed. Now, what if the miracles was out in public? What if they saw you struggling, even in a wheelchair, and the next thing you know, they see you walking and running and jumping and leaping and praising God? That's why, see, sometimes when the Lord called people to the ministry, the first thought is that God wants them to build a building and preach in a church and do what they used to. And you can miss God doing that. Did you know that God needs people who can bring the word to the people? I told my children, I said, Father God, he'll give you your own format. They love to draw. I said, God can give you cartoons. You can write cartoons. Children will watch cartoons. And you can make cartoons, lively cartoons, about the love of God. And teach children from the ground up. See, Satan don't want children to learn because their spirit is lit. They'll attach to the word of God faster than anybody. And if they get saved and they become godly, parents don't watch cartoons, but they can overhear some things being said. A ministry can be everywhere people are. But when you limit God then and structure him into a box, into four walls, or even a cathedral, you're hiding God from the world. Buildings can be good. I know they broadcast from inside and people can watch it on TV. Now, how many people put effort into going to learn about God? You got to bring the Lord where they are if you want to win them before they die. The harvest has to be picked. He didn't say, pray that the Lord will send laborers to hide on a box and ask the harvest to come inside. He didn't do that. He said pray that God send laborers to the harvest fields. We live a life where people can see us and hear us. and even smell our breath. I said that so you won't forget. God, but people need people out there, whether God need people out there that's anointed where the people are. All right. Whatever he called you to do from that point, just be obedient and do it. The format, follow the format. Sometimes the Lord has to wait till people get mature so before he get them what he, where he really has to go, has them to go to where they'll be the most effective. You have to follow the format of God, even if you're ready to run right now. You're ready when the Lord guides you there. If you run too fast, it's not going to be right. You know, Henry Ford had an assembly line. He used to fire people for working too slow, and he fired for working too fast. They had to be steady to not make mistakes and to keep up. It made sense. Now, the same thing with God. Don't run too fast, and don't lag behind. Follow him. Be where he say go. Do what he say do. And whatever he say, when it's weird to you, just ask him why. And at the right time, at the right moment, he'll give you the information you need. But first of all, be the kind of person he can trust. When the Lord give you revelation and instructions and knowledge, remember something. In 1 Corinthians, the Lord had Paul to say something that made a lot of sense. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to look at it. Here it is, chapter 4, verse 1. It said, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and of the stewards of the mysteries of God. There are some truths that the Lord is going to open up to you. It's a mystery. And it's a mystery because everybody won't be able to receive it. And they really don't even need to know it at the time. Even if the Lord teaches you a lie and you want to share it with people, it's edifying, you received it. That doesn't mean everybody received it. That doesn't even mean other anointed people will receive it. They will receive it at the proper time. So you become, as God give you knowledge, be faithful with the knowledge. Don't get in pride over what you know. Or what you find out about, or what the Lord enables you to learn. You don't need anybody to brag on you, to think highly of you. We're here to represent Father God, and we're able to do that because we believed on Jesus Christ. We are here to represent Jesus. We're here to represent the perfect will of God. We don't need glory attention. We don't need glory attention. And if we try to receive glory attention, what's the difference in that and what Lucifer did? You know, there's no difference. Motives, why do you want to minister? What is the motive? Is it to glorify you before men, or is it to reach people so that they can be saved? And if the latter is true, then you can follow God. And if the glory of men is important, just get saved. If the glory of men is important to you, and looking good in men's eyes, just get saved, and that won't be a problem anymore. Now, God needs us to be healed, to receive healing, to receive all the wonderful words of God, so that we can live an established life. You don't have to con people into getting saved. You don't have to promise them high riches. If they just live the life. If they come on false pretense, they didn't come. That's why many are going to fall away, because they didn't come in righteousness. They came on false pretenses. Ministers have promised some things God didn't promise them. If you give, you'll be made wealthy. Jesus said, if you give, you'll receive good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Let me explain something. This is to those who love God and follow him. Because people who don't get saved, if they give and God bless them, eventually they're going to die and be broke. And they never got saved. You know, God blessed them on earth with riches. Because he will bless people who give. He will bless people who do it for the right reasons. But even if you give in false pretense, it's not the same. You're not going to get the full measure of the blessing. If a prophet needs a cup of water and you give him that water and save his life, you're going to get the same reward he gets. If you bless your pastor, your church, for the right, and you're doing it because you want the ministry to go forward, and you want the man of God to be rewarded for his labor. He said words to help your family. Your family gets to live forever. Your children get to be encouraged. Your spouse gets encouraged. They get blessed. They get better jobs, and they can buy nicer cars and homes, and their dreams come true. That's valuable. All right, you go and you appreciate your pastor and you want to be a blessing to him. That's a natural reflex response. You want to see him better off. See, a good business deal leaves both people better off. Now, even if you're listening to them from far away, they've said words that help your family, help you to make better judgments. You need to be a blessing to them. That's just love. That's first grade. But if they're far away, you'll never meet them. You'll never hold a conversation with them, and you never send them an offering. You know, James Robinson, he's asking for money to bless children in other countries. I said, I want to be a part of this ministry. Now I'm not a consistent. I have my own things to do and everything. At least four times a year, I try to send a donation. That man has been a tremendous blessing to me. I listened to his tapes, and it helped me at a time when I went through similar things. We need to bless the men of God. If you want to see them on TV to bless the next generation and your people, and the people that you tell them, you tell people about how much of a blessing they were. If you want them to be there so others can be blessed like you were, you got to pay some of their bills. that's elementary. That's first grade. Even people in kindergarten know that. But back to the basics. We need the ministry out there to pick people out of the cotton fields of God's earth. We need to go out there and pick the corn, the crops of hearts that love God. We need to find a way to get the word out there, and the Holy Spirit will guide us, even strategically, where we need to go and be. And when he tell you what to do, just be obedient. That's how you reap the harvest. He didn't say just get up and go out there and randomly speak to people. God don't lead people that way. Men lead people that way. Sometimes churches say, we're going to go and just knock on every door in the neighborhood. All right. That can work. It works better when God, at the time God tell you to do it, because he's prepared the people and they're ready to receive. To some people, you're just disturbing the peace. Live the life. Do it God. If you do it God's ways, it's easy. If you do it man's ways, it's highly difficult. And it's not going to work as good. It's not going to work. I would say half as good. It's not half as good as what God would do. If you follow God's lead, he'll hit the mark. It'll be a blessing. It may not always look like it, but it will work. Now, next time, I hope we'll get to where I was going in Isaiah chapter 12. We're going to do what opposite to what Lucifer did in chapter 12. But if we govern our ministry no different than Lucifer governed his, we're going to have his results and not God. It's Isaiah chapter 14. It's Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. I knew it was 12 in there. Because it tells how Lucifer fell. And we want to avoid the problems he came up with. We don't want our ministry to resemble his. We want our ministry to resemble Jesus' ministry. We want to go about doing good and not for pretense, not for the wrong reasons. We want to do it right. But never limit ministry to what man has already done. Be open to the Holy Spirit. Do what he guides you to do. Say what, when you say the right thing to your coworker, whatever office God gave you, everybody has the ministry of reconciliation. You're doing your part right there where you are. And when the Lord, anytime the Lord give you a word for somebody or tell you something that'll help somebody, it's don't be afraid to share it because it's going to work. Even if they look puzzled, you speaking to the heart, not their mind. But that work will grow. That's a definite target you hit. That's a blessing. You just help somebody come out of this world every time you obey God. You're starting the healing process in their life. If they get saved, another person's going to grow up and possibly be anointed, called to the ministry and anointed to do something for the Lord. That's how it works. We don't need buildings as much as we need obedience. We don't need traditions as much as we need obedience. And then when we sacrifice, if your sacrifice comes out to obedience, God will receive it. Now, we're out of time, but the Lord is not. We want God to receive all of our offerings and tithes and blessings. We want to be a blessing to people. If you want God to receive it, just be obedient first and watch him move. And you'll know the old preacher was right. Jesus' burden is easy. His yoke is easy and the burden is light. Till next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.